So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Another beautiful day here in Southern California. We don't have much time at the front end here because we have two great guests we're going to bring you in just a very short period of time. Our first guest is going to talk about a wonderful charity that helps children to succeed and have wins in their lives. And believe me, in this day and age, children need wins in their lives if you look around and see what's going on. So first we're going to talk about that, and then a little bit later in the show we're going to talk about what you need to do to really start thinking about your business and its future transition with a very good friend of mine and a very wise consultant guy by the name of Jim Immel. So I hope you'll stick around for that. If you can't stick around for any reason, then you can always find this show and our archives at exitcoachradio.com at the AM 830 tab there. And also while you're there, look around. You'll find some other great guests, authors, advisors, and thought leaders who have lent their expertise so you can hear it, so you can be well planned. And also look around. We have books available at our website. We have a way to help build the value of your business, the Value Builder Score. Check it all out at exitcoachradio.com. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, protecting your family and business is essential for your peace of mind. If you have legal and financial concerns that keep you awake at night, check out Albert Rausch at ocbusinesslaw.com. Albert is an Orange County attorney with an MBA in finance and accounting. He's focused his practice on seniors and their families. He has in-depth knowledge and experience in the areas of estate planning, taxes, and wealth management, and supports families with their most private matters. If you need someone who will listen to you and provide expert legal and financial support, call Albert Rausch at 714-432-0794. That's 714-432-0794. Or go to ocbusinesslaw.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, we talk about a lot of business topics, but by far the question I'm asked the most is how do I grow the value of my business so I can sell it someday for an outrageous price? So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get this special free report delivered right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
You know, one of the pleasures I have in doing this show is to be able to interview people who are making a big difference in the local community here, and actually branching out and helping people in other parts of the country as well. And with me today is Don Reese, the executive director and CEO of The Wooden Floor, which is located in Santa Ana, California. Let me tell you a little bit about this organization. It's founded in 1983, and The Wooden Floor is one of the most progressive arts for youth nonprofit organizations in the country. They transform the lives of young people in low-income communities through the power of dance and access to higher education. In Orange County, and through their national licensed partners, they are using a long-term approach grounded in exploratory dance education to foster the resources within each child to innovate, communicate, and collaborate, skills necessary for success in school and in life. 100% of the students who graduate from The Wooden Floor immediately enroll in higher education, and that's just fantastic. And their students become change agents and beacons of hope within their own families, their neighborhoods, their community, and their world. It's a fantastic organization. Don, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Don, it's just a tremendous concept and idea of helping kids through that creative means of dance. Tell us a little bit about how it got started and what the idea, you know, how it's been around since 1983, but yet I think a lot of people probably have not heard of it. So tell us a little bit about it and how it got started.
Sure. It's evolved quite a bit over time. So it started out in 1983 as a summer pilot program with a sister of St. Joseph of Orange. And her goal then was to keep kids off the streets one summer and, you know, out of poor behavior. And what happened is at the end of that summer program, the kids said, you know, I don't want to go back to my everyday life. And so she went back to the sisters and said, you know, I'd really like to think about starting this program. And they said, well, if you want to start it, you can, but you're going to have to, you know, organize it and fundraise for it on your own. And that's what Beth Burns did, who was our founder, and that's how it started. And it started in the basement of an Episcopal church here in Santa Ana, of the Episcopal Church of the Messiah. And then we had about 40 students, and it was about there for about 8 years. And then it eventually moved to 4th Street here in Fiesta Marketplace, and then grew to about 150 students, but really didn't form what it is today, which is the comprehensive programs of dance education that's coupled with academic tutoring, college and career readiness, as well as family services, until we built our building here in Santa Ana, which is on Main Street here next to the Bowers Museum. And that's when we now serve 375 students today at this campus, but we now have plans to grow both here locally as well as nationally.
That's fantastic. So it started as someone's summer camp and grew into a formalized program and now serves 375 students. And it's that's what I heard, is that your organization is getting ready to help even more young people. Tell us a little bit more about that and why is that important?
So what we found over the last, you know, 33 years that we've been here, we have two programs. So we have our year-round program that we have here, which is a 375, but we also serve another 3,000 students in the schools here in Orange County. And so we've served actually over 85,000 young people. The number one thing, both through the one-week short-term immersion as well as our long-term immersion, is the lives of the students change so significantly just by being with The Wooden Floor, even if it's a dose effect and also in the long-term approach. And so in 2009, we started beginning to explore through our strategic planning process, how could we start to serve more children? And so because people were just saying, you know, you have such a great program, let's see what we can do with this. So the board and the executive staff and our staff came together and we said, how can we make this happen? So we set this really ambitious plan to increase our visibility and advocacy, as well as grow our impact. And so we're doing that in two ways. We're doing that here locally through an affordable housing developer approached us in 2014, and he has now offered us space within his affordable housing development. And he's carving out about 3,000 square feet, less than a mile from the wooden floor's current campus. And that's going to be our first approach to take on more students, because each year we have over 400 students line up for only 70 spots today. And so we turn away so many young people that we just felt that was the need we really needed to focus on. And so in 2017, and today is actually our groundbreaking day over there, which I'm very excited about, we will be serving 100 more students and their families over at the depot at Santiago, which will be next to the train station and is part of the master plan for the city of Santa Ana in increasing affordable housing within the city of Santa Ana. And so we're hoping that if this becomes a successful model for us, we may be able to partner with other affordable housing developers if that makes sense for us. But we're not looking to do that anytime soon, because we want to make sure we're really successful in doing this one. And then the second way we're looking to grow is through licensed partners. And that's a national model that we created about 2 years ago, where we are licensing our model to other nonprofits around the country who focus with dance education in low-income communities. And the goal with that is that we don't want to franchise. You know, we don't want to have wooden floors around the country at this time, because one of the things that you'll hear from other nonprofits when you do a lot of research is that it can create a lot of weight on the nonprofit because of fundraising and governance and quality controls and all those kinds of things. And the organization just didn't feel it wanted to have that on itself right now, for sure. And so we created this model where, unlike franchising, we provide curriculum training and consulting to that nonprofit, and then they can roll it out on their own independently. So our first one we signed is City Dance in Washington, D.C., which we announced last year. And we're in the process of rolling that out to them, and they should be up and running in our same form in Washington, D.C. by 2018.
Fantastic. That's great. So now, what's the long-term vision? Do you see this? Do you see wooden floor in 10 years all over the country? What's your vision?
Well, I think the vision is we want to have a very prudent approach. That's the number one thing our board and my vision is about prudency. So we want it to be the right partnerships around the country. Dance has a certain genre of our dance is based on this exploratory approach of contemporary dance, and we want to make sure that those organizations are centrally focused on that. So this isn't any type of dance. Even though we train in ballet and contemporary dance, we perform and we believe what happens in the dance studio is because of the contemporary dance approach that we have, and that we want to make sure we have like-minded partners in that approach. And then if they have to then have the bandwidth to then to implement all the other wraparounds, which is the academics, the college and career readiness, and the family services. And really, they have to have their own bench strength themselves in order to implement. And so, like City Dance, the day we announced that they received, that they became our first licensed partner, they actually received the Presidential Award for Youth Development in Washington, D.C. that same day. So, you know, we're looking for like-minded partners like that, just like us here, because we received that award in 2003. So we're looking for those types of people that are up and coming and can actually, you know, implement our program. So maybe there's 10 and all, and I mean, ideally, if I had my dream, it would be in all the major arts markets, because it really needs also to have strong arts support in those communities. So I am talking to a couple other nonprofits right now, and the one thing, you know, I have a due diligence process that I take them through, and I also have on our website, if anyone is listening that would like to see a whole video series that we created on what it takes to become a licensed partner, so people need to know that it's leading with the arts and the mission, but it also needs to have a strong business background to it that needs to be able to support the infrastructure, what it takes to build the organization wherever they're going to develop it.
Okay, now Don, I'm not a dance aficionado, so excuse me for the ignorance of this question. Is the reason contemporary dance is so important, is that because does contemporary dance require not only discipline but imagination?
Yes, and so our approach to that is about co-creation. It's about bringing those individual thoughts and ideas to creative problem solving. So an example is, so when a student works with a choreographer or their faculty member in the studio, they're learning a step in, say, ballet, right? They need to learn a certain step in order to have a pattern or to learn movement. But in contemporary dance, they're given prompts. Like an example is, do a movement you would do in the kitchen. And so because of that, they start doing movements that you would take everyday life, maybe opening the refrigerator. And you said it looks like an everyday, ordinary experience. But when all of those different movements of the kitchen come together, it creates this really wonderful movement that you see witnessing in front of you. And through that is that they have to problem solve. They have to think through what they would do. They have to figure out how they would actually comport those movements. And so that really ties to project-based learning that, you know, you hear what's happening with Common Core today in education. It's all about how do you take practical experiences and turn them into, you know, and then turn them into those educational pursuits. And so that's really the linkage, because once they're successful in the dance studio and they set their goals on this co-creation, and they're successful, and sometimes they fail and they have to reset themselves through that, is they become courageous. And once they become courageous and successful, that applies to all parts of their life. Because one place they spend most of their time is in the dance studio, but then they start saying to themselves, maybe I want to have a better relationship with a friend, or maybe I want to make positive decisions for myself. Maybe I want to set myself on my top university that I want to attend, you know. So it starts translating into all parts of their life because they become courageous.
Yeah, the beauty of this, I think what I'm hearing is that it gives the kids a chance to have a win in their life, an experience that requires, like I said, some discipline to learn and come in. I'm sure they don't just come in and it's not just freelance. They have to learn certain disciplines and focus, and then they get to explore what's inside of them and then present that on stage. And that's just a tremendous win for any child to overcome that anxiety and fear of putting all that together and say, hey, I can do this. And that's fantastic.
And I think the other part of I think we've talked about is that, you know, them being low income is that they also find, and the number one thing the student says is that they express themselves. It's a place for them when they have challenges going on outside of the wooden floor, in their schools, in their homes, where their neighborhoods. They can come in here and just like release it through movement. It's a powerful form of expression that leads to health and healing. So we feel that then by doing that here, then they can really focus on the things that are important, schoolwork, focusing, getting ahead, and really getting to their full potential, you know. And for today, you know, 100% of our students have been going to college. And our goals are, you know, that we always set that bar for them, but we know maybe one day a student doesn't want to go to college, but we've at least instilled in them choice and given them the tools to make those positive decisions. And hopefully if they don't go to college, they have made another positive choice for themselves, because we have more and more students going to college today. This is our largest graduating class this year. 2017, we have 36 right now in the college pipeline. And in this class, we have almost 150, we could say, in our college pipeline, which is from eighth grade forward. We start college prep today in sixth grade. And so with one-on-one college discussions starting in sixth grade today, because we have to start earlier with our kids. Because they're with us for 10 years, last year we made a decision, if they're with us for 10 years from third grade all the way through high school, then we need to make commitments to them from elementary, middle to high school to ensure that they set their vision all the way through of how to get to college. And then how do they use these dance to help them develop those internal resources to do that.
I think that's fantastic. You know, you think about, you know, those of us who came from a background where maybe we went to a summer school or a summer program at some point, but it wasn't thought out that this is the beginning of a future. This is just a 6-week program and you're done. And so yep. What this is basically strategically set that you're going to help them win through life, and you also integrate with college and career readiness and family services. So this is much more than a dance program, much more than a dance program. Tell us how you do that. How do you integrate with college and career and family services and all of these things?
So we basically, the minute they start with us, a third grader will start with us this year. They'll be called the class of 2026. So we set that vision day one with them and their parents to get them on board of, you know, you're here for the 10-year journey. Hopefully, we know not all children may stay because of many issues of related to poverty, but or choice, you know, maybe dance at the end of the day isn't their thing, but about 30 to 40% of our students are staying the whole 10-year journey now, and which is very high for the students we serve. They're very low income for Orange County. Typical family of five is about $35,000 for a family of five, which is low or extremely low income for Orange County. And so So we offer them the dance education, 2 to 3 classes a week when they're younger, up to 4 to 5 when they're older. Then when they're in sixth grade, we'll start college and career readiness programs, offering them everything from SAT planning to college tours, career nights. And then in family services, we offer them one-on-one counseling, crisis intervention, family resources, and to where to find resources in the community, everything from food services to homeless, homelessness resources, legal aid, whatever they need. We are one stop. And because of that, they become very reliant on us to be their second home. That's the number one thing the students say about us, because you think about it, we're the one thing that really stays constant in their life. We're that firm foundation, hence the wooden floor. We're the firm foundation in their life from 10 years, you know, elementary, middle to high school, all those transitions. What's the one thing that can stay constant? It's the wooden floor. Where everything else might be have turmoil, the wooden floor, if they stay with us, remains very constant.
That's fantastic. It's just fantastic that, you know, it's a way for them to have a like you said, a home base, a place that they know that they're going to go to, and it's going to be just the same as it was last week. They're going to be working for something that they love to do. So let's talk about you and what you love to do and what your why is and why you are so passionate. And you always exude passionate, you know, vibes about the wooden floor. Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, I think it stems from a couple things, but the one is that I feel it's my dream job in life. I feel, and when I came out of college, my goal was to become an educator and eventually a principal. And I didn't know that going to management consulting in my early career and starting a nonprofit when I was in, you know, my early 20s would weave me into this today, where I'm, you know, running one of the most successful nonprofits in the county, and with also a vision for growth nationally. And the reason that it really drives me is that it really fits to my life purpose, is really to help children move ahead and succeed, you know, at all, at any part of my personal interests have been always about helping people, and both children and adults. And so today at the wooden floor, nothing makes me happier than 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have an office here at the wooden floor, and there's been times when I've had opportunities to move it, and I keep on thinking, should I move it? I'm like, no, I'm going to stick here, because my favorite time is 4 o'clock, when the gates swing open and I can see the students walk into the courtyard. The first thing I do is I walk out and I go, hey, what's going on? Because I can welcome them, I can talk to them, find out what's going on, because they give me such energy, because the best part is that you get very attached to the children, because I get to know them, I get to know their parents, I get to hear their needs, I get to hear what's going on. If they need an internship, I can call someone up like Bill mm-hmm. and say, Bill, mm-hmm. do you know someone in accounting mm-hmm. that I could maybe help this child with? And well, voila, I can use my own network. I can be there to mentor them. I can be there to encourage them if they need a shoulder to cry on. And for me, it's really about helping children move ahead that would not have this opportunity in life if it was not for the wooden floor. And so for me, it really fulfills my life purpose, to really is to move children forward.
That's fantastic. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Dawn Rees, the Executive Director and CEO of The Wooden Floor in Santa Ana, California. Now, Dawn, you have a fundraiser event coming up. It's the Keep the Promise 10th Anniversary Wine Tasting Benefit for The Wooden Floor on September 22nd, 2016 at the Big Canyon Country Club. Tell us a little bit about that and who should attend.
So this is our 10th anniversary. We have a fantastic event. All of the wines for the event are 97 points and above. We have one of our supporters, John and Janice Markley. John curates these wines specifically for the event for the last 10 years personally. And he then donates all the wine to the event, so the proceeds from the event go directly to the Wooden Floor. And this has become just such a significant. This year we will be raising over $2 million in total over the last 10 years for the Wooden Floor due to this event, which started out as just a small event in our courtyard with wine and cheese and crackers. And, you know, a little small mm-hmm. event has turned into one of our top events. But it's really a place where we have also to thank our community. We have so many wonderful supporters, corporate individuals, and volunteers who come out for this event to help us. And it's our way to also say thank you for all that they do for our children.
And our listeners can go to thewoodenfloor.org/winetasting for information on that September 22nd event at Big Canyon. How can you go wrong there, right? So it sounds like
right.
a fantastic event. So, Dawn, a lot of our listeners might be thinking, this sounds like a terrific endeavor. It sounds like it's really getting wings and taking off and now starting to flourish in other areas of the country. How can our listeners find out more about getting involved locally or getting involved financially?
They can visit us at www.thewoodenfloor.org, or they can call directly at 714-541-8314. And ask for me, and I'd be happy to talk with them and provide them also with a tour. We give tours, almost over 100 tours a year now at all different times, and they're all personalized. They're not, you know, every Thursday or something. So we like to work one-on-one. So we'd be more than happy to have a tour and visit with everyone who'd like to hear more about what we're doing.
And then also you have dance events on a periodic basis for the children to showcase some their talents, right?
Yes. So in 2017, we'll be at the Irvine Barclay Theater. It's at the end of May and beginning of June, and always the first weekend. And this year, we'll have two choreographers and a reprisal of a piece we did in 2007 that has been a crowd pleaser, Mi Corazón Canta, and everyone's been asking for it for years, so we're bringing it back. And so And then we also are going to be performing in 2018 at the Walt Disney Hall at Red Cat, which is a very exploratory black box theater they have behind Disney Hall that a lot of people may not know of. And we are the only youth organization that is asked to perform there because of the high quality and the intense level of art making that we do that is rivals what, you know, professional dance organizations do as well.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, if you go to one of these events, bring a handkerchief or tissues, because you're going to be seeing the culmination of these kids who came from not so nice backgrounds, came, gave their heart and soul, learned, and now they're performing for you. It's going to be a tearjerker. So bring. It's just really inspiring,
yeah.
Dawn. It's a fantastic thing. It's. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was just. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna add to what you said is that, you know, I think that's what people are always amazed is just the power of the children on stage, is that, you know, I think they come in thinking they're going to see a children's recital like, you know, traditionally, but it's not that. It's like what you would see at a normal, you know, an adult dance company level. And I think, but then when they realize, oh my gosh, these are children doing this work, and then they see the power, many people, like you said, Bill, have tears in their eyes when they're leaving because they just can't believe what they witnessed from the stage.
That's fantastic. You know, when you meet someone who is exactly where they should be, you know it. And Don, it's really apparent knowing you that where you are is exactly where you should be. And the wooden floor is really more than a wooden floor. It's a springboard for the road ahead for these kids. And you're doing a fantastic job. And we applaud you for all of your efforts. And again, listeners, go to thewoodenfloor.org. And you will find out all this information that you need to know about the upcoming events and how you can make a difference for the wooden floor, which is making a difference in children's lives. Don, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure, a lot of fun.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned.
It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
So let's talk about the Ning Trust that's being used by residents of high income tax states to eliminate state income tax on non-California source investments.
Well, take the example you spoke about a moment ago, the seller who's selling his business. You know, California now has the highest income tax rate in this country, 14.3% above $1 million of income, 13.3% if it's below that. So any of the listeners out there who live in high income tax states can do some planning. So if you're thinking about selling your company, you've got some time to plan. You can set up a trust in a no-tax state like Nevada. The trust has to meet certain rules and guidelines. But the idea is that once the trust is established and once you put your stock in that company in that trust, as long as the company is not situated in the high-tax state that you live in, then when you sell the company or you go public, the state income tax inures to the trust, and Nevada has no state income tax, so it pays no state income tax. And the California resident who used to own the stock but then gave it to the trust doesn't pay any state income tax. So if you had a client that had $10 million sale, or let's say a $10 million portfolio, and he was earning 6.5% on his $10 million portfolio every year, he'd pay about $93,000 in state income tax to the state of California. And that tax savings can be saved by setting up one of these Nevada Irrevocable Grantor Trusts, or the Ning Trust, as we'd like to call it.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach, and we want you to sell your business for an outrageous price someday. So I'm going to rattle off three ways you can grow the value of your business. You can motivate and retain key employees by focusing them on increasing profits. You can get your financial books in order, and you can work on developing strong processes and systems. Now, we put together a free report for you on several other ways you can grow the value of your business. To get our free report, just text the word DRIVERS to 44222, and we'll send it right to your inbox. Again, text the word DRIVERS to 44222. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Get our free report today. And thanks for listening. This is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. Attention, business owners and construction companies. Do you know that one lawsuit can cause you to lose your business? According to the SBA, 20 out of 22 companies that get sued go out of business within 2 years. Lawsuits can be frustrating and financially draining. Gassemian Law Group has over 16 years of experience in business and construction law to give you peace of mind by not only defending you in lawsuits, but helping you avoid them in the first place. Don't wait for a lawsuit. Call for a free 20-minute phone consultation to evaluate your company's risk before trouble begins. Call 949-436-2785. That's 949-436-2785, or visit them online at www.glgattorneys.com. That's glgattorneys.com. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Values Institute and features Jim Immel of Immel & Associates. And Jim is going to talk to us about some very interesting topics with conversations he has with business owners. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill.
I should say welcome back. You've been on before. You can find all of Jim's past interviews on exitcoachradio.com. Thanks for coming back, Jim. Let's give our listeners a refresh on what your practice is all about. What do you do for your clients?
Well, my practice is pretty much twofold, Bill. About 60% of my time, maybe two-thirds of my time, is working directly with business owners, helping them as much as anything gain clarity and confidence on their long-term plan, and then, of course, coordinating that with their short-term efforts to build the long-term success of their business. And the other part of my business is actually coaching financial services advisors, people that want to focus in on the business market, people that want to help their clients be proactive as far as helping prepare them for negotiating from strength and not weakness, and learning some of the ideas and concepts that can help them help their business owners. So I enjoy both sides of that since I was a financial advisor and I did that specifically before I went into coaching.
So that's great perspective for people that are working with business owners, that you can come to them and say, hey, I've been there, I've been doing that for many, many years. And you and I have known each other a long time now, Jim.
Right? Yes, we have.
And you've always been a great communicator, a great storyteller, and able to assess a situation for a business owner and help them to kind of, like you said, clarity and look towards the future and see how they're going to solve the issues at hand. And one of the things that you've talked about a lot is you never get the right answer if you don't ask the right question. And it seems very fundamental, yet it can be easily overlooked. But what do you mean by that? You never get the right answer if you don't ask the right question.
Well, since you referred that I'm a storyteller, maybe I can share a quick story. And this wasn't long ago that I was introduced to a business owner. And on his mind was, what does the long term look like for me? And of course, he's focused on growing his business. He knows his industry. He's a very, very passionate person. But at the same point in time, he's starting to look in the mirror and he's starting to hear from some of the key leadership group, you know, what is your long term plan? So he starts to wonder about that. So the very first thing that he starts to ask me is, what's the best way for people to exit their business, and what have you seen other people doing? And so he starts with that fundamental question, which is asking for some education. Yet at the same point in time, really where it starts is it starts in his heart as far as what would he like to have as his legacy, what would he like to accomplish, how would he like to exit that business? And for a lot of people like that, Bill, what I do is I slow them down a little bit, get them to think out loud, process out loud. And a lot of times people like that, I just ask if it's okay if I get to know them and their business, and I take them back to the beginning and ask them why they got in business in the first place. Mm-hmm. What was it that they were wanting to accomplish? And just literally slowing them down and letting them know that if they go a little bit deeper with the questions, they're going to get to the fundamental questions that they need to answer. So if you really think about it, Bill, our minds move very, very fast. These business owners, they love to solve problems. They're confident, they're optimistic, and they move pretty fast, generally speaking. So what we do as advisors is we just slow them down. When people are processing out loud, they can't go as fast as they do when they're just thinking by themselves. So one good question leads to another question, and many times it takes three or four questions before we start to really peel the onion back and they start to ask themselves the right question.
Do you find that people have different definitions of long-term today than they did 20 years ago when you were getting started, or 30 years ago when you were getting started?
Yeah.
It's been a long time,
well,
Jim.
What's interesting is one of my best mentors, because I was in my early 30s and I was working with a business owner that was close to 60. And what Gary would tell me is that he was looking to get out in 5 years. And 15 years later, I was asking Gary when he was looking to get out, and it was always 5 years. So
the old PermaFive plan.
Right. But he loved what he did. passionate, love to develop other people, love to grow the business, provide other people opportunities, and that's what he did. And he eventually exited by providing a great opportunity for the people that he left behind. Long-term is really interesting. I use the analogy of the light switch. Sometimes these business owners don't think about it, and then all of a sudden they wake up one day and they just want to turn the light switch off. It all of a sudden they go from being passionate 100% into the game, and then all of a sudden something starts feeling heavy. Maybe it's a personal situation that's happened, but they literally turn the light switch off. Most of the people that you and I work with, it's more like a dimmer switch. They just don't do it that quick. They do it over time. But what really a lot of them are thinking about is, how do I transition myself out of the leadership position, provide other people opportunity to get into that leadership position, so the business is being prepared to transition from a position of strength and not weakness. And I would say that long-term for most is 10 years, but even 5 years is long-term for some.
I like the analogy of the light switch, because a lot of people think that they are going to operate life on that dimmer switch, and then all of a sudden an event happens.
Right.
Beyond their control, and like you said, the passion's gone. They need to be prepared for that, just in case the light switch goes off of desire.
Right.
And none of us want to think about that, but it's just part of life.
Yeah, it is. And it could be something family-driven, health-driven. I mean, you just don't know what it is. There are times where all of a sudden what was once a very strong priority now seems to be a distant second place. And I think with the business owners that are listening in, a lot of them can relate to that.
Yeah.
As you know, we're in a relationship business, so the deeper that we go with these kind of questions, the more we build that deep relationship with these entrepreneurs, these people to lead for so many reasons, not just to win in business, but they're very, very purpose-driven in many cases.
Now, we were talking the other day, Jim, about an example of some of those questions. And you talked about the question that someone else might ask of me as an advisor. And we have about a minute and a half before break. Can you just kind of go back over that conversation briefly?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what exactly we were talking about, but what do you do as an advisor is asked quite often. And I believe that the future-based question that we can turn and ask of our client, you know, is it okay, instead of answering that question, is it okay if I ask you a question? And give them really something to think about and go deep with. And if they were to feel like they found an advisor that they could feel very, very confident in, and they could imagine introducing this advisor to somebody else, and this is somebody that they would really trust and respect, how would we define that advisor to one of our friends that we were suggesting work with this advisor? What are the traits and the values that you want that advisor to have? And that's really what business owners should be thinking about, is who's going to represent them, who's going to help lead them, who's going to take their shoes off and put them on and help them through it. And honestly, what I'm focused on is I'm focused on being that person that's referable and somebody that can be introduced to somebody that they care about. I think that's really what they should be looking for in an advisor.
Great stuff, Jim. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Jim Immel of Immel Associates. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more stories and some other tips and ideas that our listeners can use. Jim, we'll be right back. Hang with us, okay? Welcome back, everyone. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you will find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes. I'm talking with Jim Immel of Immel & Associates. And Jim, before the break, we talked about the fact that you never get the right answer if you don't ask the right question. And I'm going to cut to the chase on the one I was thinking about that we were talking about. Was, you said something to a business owner that really opened up my eyes to what we do. And it had to do with, someday something may happen and people that you love will be asking me some questions. What are those questions? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah. And really what it's about is, and this is really more maybe in the risk management aspect of running your business, One of the things that a lot of business owners are doing is their heads down, they're growing their business, they're focused on the day-to-day, and they're, again, back to being very optimistic and looking at what they can accomplish. And risk management is just not natural to most business owners. And one of the questions that I like to ask to get business owners to just slow down for a moment and to think is, if you could imagine, Bill, if you were the business owner and I asked you to imagine for a moment that you had passed away, and a week after your funeral, if I'm the most trusted advisor, your widow calls me and says, Jim, I have a few questions. Do you have a little bit of time? And I would basically say, of course I do. And she says, great, I'll be right over. And now I like to be prepared, so I would ask you, Bill, to kind of come back and be with us and help me understand, what are those five or six questions that I should be prepared to answer that your wife might be asking me when she gets here? What are the things that we should prepare for, because I want to make sure I give her peace of mind? What are some of those questions that she's going to ask? And when I've asked that question to a lot of business owners, they realize that they're not ready for that event. I had one business owner kind of smile at me and say, you know, that's not even fair. And the reality is, though, Bill, is that the risk management planning, the contingency planning is pretty important, because what that really does is it helps us start down the path of making sure the business is prepared in so many different ways. Because if you think about it, it helps you prepare for a living buyout as well. What's your most important asset? It's usually your leadership, your management, your key performers. And you start to think about, well, how do I make sure that we retain those people for the business? You know, either from a contingency or even from a living buyout. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I negotiate from strength by making sure that my leadership, management, and key performers are tied into the organization? It's a good question that really gets people thinking in a couple different ways from a risk management standpoint, but also if you think about it, the risk management of what if you live still requires that you're able to retain, reward those people, have them walk alongside you, so when you do negotiate to exit, you can do it from a position of strength and not weakness.
Excellent. Now, you've talked about that there's only three types of businesses. Maybe you can review your thoughts there and some questions or examples that can illustrate the right questions that can be asked with regards to that.
Yeah. Really, when I talk about the three kinds of businesses, there's businesses that are controlled by one person, a majority-owned business. There's businesses, maybe it's three brothers inherited the business from dad, so it's a multiple minority situation. Nobody is in control. Maybe it's four equal people, but what it comes down to is nobody really is in control. There's multiple minority owners that lead the business. And then the most challenging sometimes is the 50-50 owner. And 50-50 owner, nobody's really in control. And I've got a good example of a 50-50 situation that I was introduced to here not too long ago. And what's really interesting is that these gentlemen are about the same age, but one of them has a son that's come into the business. The son is highly talented. And the father of the son is thinking longer term about staying in the business, being there to work alongside his son. The other business owner is kind of calling a timeout, going, I thought we were going to build this business and sell it together. And the very interesting thing that's going on here is people are starting to realize that they didn't ask the right questions at the beginning, to really say, how would this ever happen? How are we going to make an offer from one 50% owner to another 50% owner? What's the best way to go about that? And I actually got introduced to that in a roundabout way from an attorney who introduced me to kind of facilitate some of the conversations and think about some of the possibilities on how to find a win-win. But if you think about it, Bill, the buyer is wanting to buy it as cheap as possible. The seller is wanting to sell it for as much as possible. The buyer, whose talented son came in and grew the business, is saying, now, wait a minute, we're looking to buy your shares out. My son's been helping grow this business. So there's just a lot of issues that, until you put your heads up and start looking at a situation, you're not asking those questions until sometimes it gets a little bit too late.
Right. So it's important to delineate between what type of situation or type of business are you in, and that will help drive the conversation and determine the outcome.
You know, there's a lot of ideas that are being thrown around here, and it's going to work out. It's going to be fine. But how you get there, you might have to get a little bit creative. But, and I have another one. It's been a while since I worked on this one, but it's always a good example. It was originally a 50-50 ownership, but they became 40-40-20 because they brought in a talented person to be a 20% owner.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the 20% owner is the swing vote. And of course, the business owners were made aware of that when they were entering into, you know, real stock going to this third person. But the interesting thing is the age difference is literally, it's about 10 years from the oldest to the second oldest, then another 10 years down to the next one. So there's 20 years from the oldest to the youngest. And the one in the middle is one of the 40% owners, does not want to own two-thirds of the business. So he really doesn't want to buy more of the business. But the youngest person, again, feels like I'm buying some of my equity back because of growing the business. So a lot of times you just have to think longer term through these events when you're going into them. And sometimes you just can't think of every situation. But at the same point in time, when they started to go to look at solving this, they really started to say, how are we going to work this out amongst each other? And what ended up happening is realizing that there's a lot of other talent and other people that are also providing leadership, management, and performance, you know, for the business. And so it's turned into something that is much more broad from an ownership than just these three people. So again, it's easy to start going down a path because of the questions that are being asked. And sometimes you just have to sit back and say, what questions should we be asking right now?
Great stuff, Jim. How do our listeners get in touch with you, and if you'll offer a free consultation or something like that for them?
Absolutely. Probably the best way is email, and it's just simply Jim@, and my last name is spelled I-M-M-E-L, immelassociates.com. So Jim@immelassociates.com. Just shoot me an email with a couple days at work for a time to get together and a phone number, and I'll reach out and we can discuss some things. And also for financial service advisors, there's a couple processes that I've got put together specifically to help them. One of them's called Getting Started. Another one's called a reboot process to kind of, you know, do you want to reboot your processes and take a look and maybe have another party either look at your processes or give you some ideas. I've got some ideas there to help financial services reps as well.
Jim, thanks very much for a very interesting interview and discussion, and I've learned a lot again, as I usually do when I talk with you. I would implore any of our listeners who are business owners, or if you're an advisor that works with business owners and you want to get better at it, give Jim Immel a call at Immel Associates or send him an email at jim@immelassociates.com. Jim, hope you'll come back and join us again soon. Thanks very much.
I will do that. Thanks, Bill. Good talking to you.
Great talking with you. I've been talking with Jim Immel of Immel Associates, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online at www.exitplanning.com.
That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you, go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AM 830. And follow us on Twitter at exitcoach. We'll see you again next week here on AM 830 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.